It's 1900 UTC, and that means it's time for That's News to Me. I'm your host, DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Oh, hello, hello, welcome, one and all. It is August 27th, 2021, and it's 1900 UTC. Hooray, hooray, I made it on time today. All I had to do was take the day off. If you are new to the show, it's a 30-minute news show we've got going on here. This is news to me. And if you want to interact or participate during the show, feel free. All you have to do is at 1900 UTC, go ahead and get your terminal pointed over to SDF. So SSH over is new at sdf.org if you don't have an account. If you do, just SSH over. And then COM is the program you want to run, COM. Press enter. Then G will be the command for go to. Type anon radio, all lowercase, all one word. Hit enter. You'll see something that says topography, and it'll have a cool ASCII art of anon radio, and you'll be in the thing. So it's going to be awesome. And then you can hang out. So you can chat with cool people like X1 or Froggy Me or Raleigh or me or Jazzmaz, who's always listening. Or really just lots of people. Usually M. Stoney shows up, SMJ's around a lot of the times. Just lots of cool people. Snowdesk is usually around sometimes. And who else? Oh yeah, Northern Lights. They have a show on Tuesdays. Well, anyway, lots of DJs. And so anyway, that reminds me, stick around for Tobe and the Dubious Goals Committee at 1930 UTC. And then at 2000, I'll just press equal in the COM. It'll tell you a schedule. At 2000 is Harry Larry. I believe we've got Something Blue today. So super fun, great show. All right, that's enough housekeeping stuff. I think I'm going out live, hopefully. great. Okay, so let's go ahead and get going. Let's start up the way we pretty much always start. And that's
world news.
With the world news. All right. I'll start with a piece. This is from a Haitian newspaper, and it is it's published in the French edition of the Haiti Liberté, the largest Haitian weekly trilingual newspaper. So it's been translated to English. So let's see how this goes. A battalion of U.S. Marines from North Carolina's Camp Lejeune left for Haiti on Wednesday, August 18th, under the pretext of aiding the victims of the disasters that struck the departments of Sud, Nips, and Grand Anse. I'm not sure how you're supposed to say that, when it's like that. It's supposed to be Grand apostrophe Anse. So I'm going to say Grand Anse. A 7.2 magnitude earthquake on Saturday, August 14th, and heavy rains, winds, and floods from Tropical Storm Grace, which swept through the country, particularly the Grand Sud, on August 16th and 17th. The provisional death toll provided by the Civil Protection Agency currently stands at 2,189, and more than 12,000 people have been injured, according to the agency. The earthquake destroyed more than 7,000 homes and damaged more than 12,000, leaving around 30,000 families homeless. Schools, offices, and churches had also been demolished or severely damaged. It's under this pretext that U.S. Marines will be deployed at the request of the U.S. Agency for International Development and Task Force Haiti. The Marines will join the international effort currently involving officials from the U.S. Embassy and other U.S. military services and a disaster assistance response team deployed to Haiti on August 14th. This is the part that's kind of new to me. Once 420 sailors and around 200 Marines arrive, they will work together to bring aid to Haiti, clearing debris and reopening roads, search and rescue, evacuation of the wounded. We have a fleet surgical team on board that will be able to provide medical assistance, said U.S. Marine Corps Lieutenant Colonel Corey Murtaugh. Although the gringo Marines do not need to make excuses to invade a country, in this case they use the pretext of being nice and in solidarity with Haitian tragedy and set foot in a country which they have invaded several times and where they almost always control their leaders. According to one of the naval chiefs, the troops could stay in Haiti for up to 4 months or more if necessary. The USS Arlington will be deployed with two MH-60 Seahawk helicopters, surgical team, and a landing craft. In addition, the United States is shipping the USNS Burlington Spearhead-class expeditionary fast transport, jeepers, that's a mouthful, TEPF-10, which will also serve as a platform to launch drones for aerial surveillance, as well as two P-8A Poseidon maritime patrol craft. In this way, the Haitian people, who have suffered one misfortune after another between bad rulers and forces of nature in the face of so many aggressions, will now have to face the arrogance and repressive desire of the army of the dominant imperialist power of the region, accustomed to killing, rape, and torture. Haiti Liberté rigorously denounces this umpteenth Yankee landing under humanitarian pretexts to defile once again the Haitian soil of Dessalines, Peralte, and Batraville. The Haitian people must remain vigilant, mobilized. If our country is faced with daily earthquakes and storms from our governments, it's because the United States has always imposed local lackeys on us, not only to excessively destabilize the country, but also to safeguard and defend their hegemonic interests. No to the U.S. Navy in Haiti, no to American imperialism domination in Haiti. Long live the revolutionary struggle of the Haitian people. So, wow, I just found that to be very interesting because I don't think that it ever occurred to me that the people in Haiti, I guess because I'm just an American born in Texas all the time, but like it never once occurred to me that the humanitarian missions the United States military goes on, sometimes they're not wanted, right? Or like if they do show up, the U.S. comes in and bullies people and doesn't come there with in a sense of peace. So, it's just very surprising. So that was very interesting, and I hope that was helpful or something new to you too. Alrighty. Well, there's other imperialist stuff going on. Don't worry. The United States has taken 34 unaccompanied Afghan children into custody. After about three dozen unaccompanied Afghan children have been placed in U.S. government custody after being evacuated from Afghanistan during the hurried withdrawal in recent weeks. The children arrived at the Kabul airport without a parent or legal guardian and were referred to the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Refugee Office, upon arriving in the United States. Of 34 Afghan children taken into U.S. government custody as of Thursday, 24 remain after some were quickly placed with close family members. The children in custody are housed in government shelters, experienced with caring for Afghan children, said the official, who wouldn't disclose their location. The unaccompanied children are part of a growing number of refugees airlifted out of Afghanistan in what Joe Biden's administration says is one of the biggest airlifts in history. Since August 14th, the United States has airlifted about 105,000 people out of the country, a figure that includes U.S. citizens, Afghans, and foreign nationals. The U.S. government has not said how many Afghans have arrived in the U.S., but advocates say thousands have already entered the country. The unaccompanied children being placed in U.S. government custody do not have parents in the United States, and in some cases, the parents are deceased. Their parents aren't here now, but will be. We need a place for them to go in the interim, and then they will be united with their parents when they get here. So we'll see what happens. They're kind of high profile, these kids, but, I mean, we have thousands and thousands of kids in deplorable conditions down here in Texas, so I'm sure we could shove 34 kids in there. I mean, there's hundreds of kids that they've lost, and then hundreds more that have been just sexually assaulted by the U.S. So, lots of fun. So we'll see what happens there. More Afghanistan news, but let's see. Let's check in on comm real quick. Okay, Harry Larry has a good point. Haiti threw off the French colonialists in the Napoleonic era when French was the most powerful army in the world. So they have a strong revolutionary spirit. Check this out. The Afghan minister who became a bicycle courier in Germany. Syed Sadat used to be a communications minister in the Afghan government before moving to Germany last December in the hope of a better future. Now he's a delivery man in the eastern city of Leipzig. He said some at home criticized him for taking such a job after having served in the government for 2 years, leaving office in 2018. But for him now, a job is a job. I have nothing to feel guilty about, the 49-year-old British Afghan dual citizen said, standing in his orange uniform next to his bike. He had quit the Afghan government because of disagreements with members of the president's circle. I hope other politicians also follow the same path, working with the public rather than just hiding. His story has gained particular prominence with the chaos unfolding at home after the Taliban takeover. Calm, check. His family and friends also wanted to leave, hoping to join thousands of others on evacuation flights or trying to find other routes out. With the withdrawal of U.S. troops on the horizon, the number of Afghan asylum seekers in Germany has been rising since the beginning of the year, jumping by more than 130%, data from the Federal Office of Migration and Refugees showed. Even though his dual citizenship meant he could have chosen to move to the UK, where he had spent much of his life, he relocated to Germany at the end of 2020, seizing his last opportunity to do so before that path was closed by Britain's exit from the European Union. He chose Germany because he expected it to have a better economic future and a leading role in telecom and IT sectors in the long term. So, the more you go out and the more you see people, the more you learn, he said, which is pretty cool. And I just think it's interesting that he has such a positive outlook and is working so hard. And you never know, your delivery driver might be a foreign policy minister of another country. Pretty wild. With all the human suffering going on, you know.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
I hear you. All right. Afghanistan, one more story out of there. Two, I guess. This one, Afghanistan Penn Farthing team turned away from airport. An ex-Royal Marine has told how he was turned away while trying to leave Kabul, as the UK's defense minister said his supporters had taken up too much time of senior commanders. Paul Penn Farthing was attempting to get his staff and rescue animals out of Afghanistan when they became caught up in Thursday's airport bomb blast. His team said they were safe, but still in Afghanistan. Defense Secretary Ben Wallace said he'd hoped they'd make it back. But he said supporters of Mr. Farthing's animal charity rescue mission had taken up too much time of my senior commanders dealing with this issue when they should be focused on dealing with humanitarian crisis. Mr. Wallace said, my people were focused for the last 2 weeks on a humanitarian crisis, and I had to listen sometimes to calls of abuse to my advisors, to my officials, based mainly on falsehoods that somebody somewhere had blocked a flight. Fundamentally, as we've seen on the media, there are desperate, desperate people, and I was not prepared to push those people out of the way for that. When people's time is right, they were called forward, and that's the right thing to do. But I do hope he comes back. He was advised to come back. His wife came back last Friday, so I hope he does as well. So, Mr. Farthing set up, this is just imperialism at its best. Mr. Farthing set up the Nowzad Animal Shelter in Kabul, rescuing dogs, cats, and donkeys after serving Afghanistan in the mid-2000s. Since the collapse of the government, Mr. Farthing and his supporters have campaigned to have his staff and their families, as well as 140 dogs and 60 cats, evacuated from the country. Mr. Farthing, originally from Dovercourt in Essex, said the team were 300 meters, 984 feet, inside Kabul Airport on Thursday, but were turned away, and as a result got caught up in the attack. He told the BBC all hell broke loose. As we were trying to flee from the airport, we were getting tear gas, so we were obviously trying to drive the vehicle where we can't see anything. It's just the most horrific thing. So, we'll see, it just seems when there are thousands of people and children and families trying to escape, somebody showing up with 200 animals and donkeys trying to get a plane back home, it's like you were in the country doing it. I don't know. It just agitates me. But anyway, maybe he'll get back. Maybe he'll stay in Afghanistan and die with his animals. We don't know. But if I find out, I'll let you know. And the U.S. is warning of credible threats to more attacks in Kabul.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Sorry, I get a little caught up sometimes. I lose track of time when I'm talking about the news.
Get the news over with. I want to hear the music.
Rah, 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 rah. Bark at the noise. Anyway, Pentagon spokesman John Kirby said on Friday, the United States believes there are still specific credible threats against the airport. Pentagon officials also said they believe the attack outside Kabul Airport was the result of one explosion, not two, as previously reported. We don't believe there was a second explosion at or near the Baron Hotel, that it was one suicide bomber, Army General William Taylor told reporters at the Pentagon. Al Jazeera's Charles Stratford, reporting from Kabul, said evacuations have resumed. We've seen a number of planes take off. The number of people around the airport has grown dramatically. So we'll see what happens here. So we'll see what's going on. And I'm not saying animal rescue is not talking at Kano. I'm not saying animal rescue is bad. I'm just saying that when there are thousands of people trying to escape, I think animal lives should be, like, animals, especially rescue animals, should be lower priority. They were already, you know, anyway, that's just my take. Well, you know what? We're not going to be able to play the whole song, but this song I wanted to play, it's a Frank Zappa tune, and it's called The Torture Never Stops.
Radio is your non-commercial, non-profit, member-supported underground radio station.
Powered by the SDF Public Access Unix System.
That's right. You're listening to non-radio powered by SDF. That was The Torture Never Stops from Frank Zappa. It is 10 minutes before 1930 UTC, and that is when the Dubious Goals Committee starts for you and me. Hooray! It's a lot of fun, definitely worth sticking around for. And after the Dubious Goals Committee, we've got Harriet Larry and Something Blue, which is a blast. So you don't want to miss it. Well, I don't want to call it a blast. It's a great show. I enjoy it very much. I believe the theme is blues music, so I don't want to set your hopes that it's going to be like a high energy, like boop, 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 techno music songs show or something. Anyway, sorry, I'm talking too much. Thank you, SMJ, for giving me the link to, it's a B3 show this time. Cool. Hell yeah. Thanks for the link to update the metadata, so I'll be able to do that during the show, which will be fun. Alrighty, so I guess that sums up what's going on there. Let's go ahead and jump back in. We've got a lot of news and not a lot of time.
World news.
So away we go. Oh man, I picked too many stories today. In Goma, burning questions remain after volcanic eruption. 3 months after the eruption of Mount Nyiragongo, life has returned in Goma, but experts say locals aren't out of the woods just yet, and the threat to the city remains. Researchers, authorities, and international partners are teaming up to try and prevent the eastern DR Congo city from disappearing under the lava. Our correspondents Clemente Bonero and Juliette Dubois have a report. There's danger from the volcano and also from Lake Kivu, which contains huge quantities of potentially lethal gas. Researchers at Goma Volcano Observatory are doing their best to forecast and prevent risks, but the group is critically underfunded and plagued by suspicion of corruption and embezzlements. Authorities are now considering moving part of the city to Sake, a colossal project on which the government has yet to pin a price tag, but convincing residents to leave in the land they have occupied for centuries is bound to be difficult. This is very troubling stuff here. There was a bunch of salt that was all over the ground there that was also full of harsh chemicals, and people are distrust the government, and so they're hurting themselves. So good luck there. 9 people are dead after a crane collapse in Kenya's capital. Police in Kenya said Thursday that 9 people are dead after a crane collapsed at a high-rise construction site in Nairobi. The crane tower was left standing alone after the jib crashed to the ground. Officer Mutri Mbogo said the crane collapsed midday Thursday while it was being dismantled by workers. He said another worker was seriously injured and the collapse is under investigation. A worker at the site, Michael Odi Hambo, said the crane fell after its work was completed on the 14th floor. "It seems they didn't realize the nuts tying it was loose," he said. "Of fellow workers, we heard a loud bang only to realize the crane was down." Cranes are very interesting. There's several YouTube channels about them. But yeah, a lot of times the collapsible cranes like that, you can take the bolts out and the crane will still be standing there. It's just the cables are holding it together. Anyway, cranes are very neat, but they can be dangerous. Thoughts go out to those guys there. In Senegal, Senegalese builders are rejecting concrete for an eco-friendly alternative. In Senegal, concrete is cheap and omnipresent, but some builders are reverting to the use of earth bricks and revisiting traditional building methods in order to provide better insulation and heat protection to buildings. This approach, used by a minority and requiring a precise know-how, stands out against the development of the Senegalese capital, which is undergoing rapid and sometimes anarchic urbanization. Dodo Demir, engineer, founder of Elementaire, the startup in question, says the bricks are more eco-friendly. "That's the advantage of BTC, not Bitcoin, but earth bricks, compared to cement materials, which gather heat but don't prevent it from penetrating. Means it transfers the heat to you straight away. So that's the advantage. But BTC is effective when we think about it, design with it, and use it properly. Traditional Senegalese houses were built of mud, although this has since been abandoned. Today, Dakar's sidewalks are covered with sand and stone piles that have been combined with cement to produce cheap construction blocks." Earth bricks, unlike concrete, take minimal energy to manufacture, according to British think tank Chatham House. Cement, the primary component in concrete, accounts for 8% of global carbon emissions. So, very interesting, and I thought that was pretty cool. Very news to me kind of thing here. Also, this was super neat. New species of ancient four-legged whale discovered in Egypt. That's right, a four-legged whale. Scientists in Egypt have identified a new species of four-legged whale that lived around 43 million years ago. The fossils of the amphibious Phaeomycetus anubis was originally discovered in Egypt's western desert. Its skull resembles that of Anubis, the ancient Egyptian jackal-headed god of the dead, after which it was named. The ancestors of modern whales developed from deer-like mammals that lived on land over the course of 10 million years. Weighing an estimated 600 kilograms and 3 meters in length, the Phaeomycetus anubis had strong jaws to catch prey, according to the study published by the Proceedings of the Royal Society B on Wednesday. The whale was able to walk on land and swim in water. Very cool. I don't know. I just thought that was really neat. Four-legged whale. Amphibious whales are kind of scary. It feels like dinosaurs or something could have been walking around. Yeah, dear whales. Gavin Grimm is going to get a laughable amount of money and a $1.3 million legal payout. The Gloucester County School Board has agreed to pay $1.3 million in legal fees after barring trans student Gavin Grimm, now 22, from using the boys' restroom while he was in high school. The money will go towards covering the years Grimm has spent suing the school board over its ban on allowing trans students to use the restroom that fits their gender identity. Much of the money will go to the ACLU after the civil rights nonprofit spent years representing Grimm. The agreement comes 2 months after the Supreme Court decided to not hear Grimm's case. That allowed a lower court decision in favor of Grimm to stand. Both the U.S. District Court for the Eastern District of Virginia and the U.S. Court of Appeals from the Fourth Circuit ruled that Gloucester County School Board in Virginia, where then high schooler Gavin Grimm was a student, violated Title IX and the Equal Protection Clause of the 14th Amendment by prohibiting Grimm from using the same restroom as other boys at his school. The school made Grimm use other restrooms. So, his attorney Josh Block of the ACLU, said Grimm had been fully vindicated. It should not have taken over 6 years of expensive litigation to get to this point. Of the money the school board agreed to pay Grimm, said on Twitter, he will receive $1 for nominal damages. Being a millionaire would solve like 99.9 out of 100 of my problems, but unfortunately that's not how these things work, Grimm said, after several reports indicated that he was getting the settlement funds. So, just a heads up, if you sue or you use one of these kind of organizations, lawyer fees are not the money you get, and usually these kind of settlements are just that. They're meant to change policy. The person in the suit doesn't normally get stuff. Oh man, we're going to run out of time, so it's... we're going to talk fast, so I'm sorry, but...
Excuse me while I whip this out.
Hey, yep. Here we go. Kenyans, I can send you the article that I was reading off, Raleigh, if you'd like. It was from... Anyway, I gotta talk fast. I'll post this in common in a second. Kenyans were stranded overnight in Mombasa road traffic jam in Nairobi. Frustrated drivers in Kenya have been venting their anger after spending hours overnight in an enormous traffic jam. Ridiculous that I'm getting home at 4 a.m. after an 11-hour journey. So, big traffic jam overnight caused a bunch of struggles. Nigerian gunmen have freed dozens of kidnapped children. 6 of the pupils died in captivity, and another 15 escaped in June after more than 130 were captured by bandits. Gunmen freed the remaining pupils from more than 100 kidnapped from an Islamic seminary in northwest Niger state nearly 3 months ago. So that's good news out of Nigeria. In Ethiopia, survivors gather in displacement camp after Tigray rebels have advanced. New Zealand police broke up a one-person anti-lockdown protest in Auckland. Only one person, which is pretty interesting there. We're going to run out of time. Vaccines are getting a boost from the G20 in Africa. The U.S. government might be paying people to monitor you, according to the Progressive magazine. The Texas House has voted on a voting restriction bill. And the Colorado River is drying up, and 40 million people depend on it for water, so it can be trouble.
Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.